from Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two guys fumbling their way through the music business so you don't have to. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino and the Music Row Show.
Yes.
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 Hello, friends. Welcome to the Music Row Show. My name is Scott.
And my name is Hino. Thanks so much for tuning in again tonight. This show is for all you songwriter types out there and musicians and performers who are just trying to figure things out, the way things work here in Music City.
Is it kind of embarrassing that in our notes it actually says, my name is Scott,
and you, because
after 8 years...
If it wasn't written there, I'd be like, who am I again?
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, but that just kind of proves that we don't know anything.
That's true.
We're out there slinging songs during the day just like you guys are, but we are able to find very smart people, bring them into the room, chat with them, and give you the opportunity to join in with your questions as well.
So true, and you can do that by going to facebook.com/TheMusicRowShow or hit us up on Twitter, @TheMusicRowShow, and... you can fire off some questions and comments that way right there.
Yes. Sorry, I was just checking my Twitters.
Yes.
We have a great show tonight.
We do.
Hit publisher and now working as A&R for Indie Orange. Lynn Gann is going to be with us in the first hour, and he brought some friends to play some music for us.
That is so true. And in the second hour, we're going to be joined by hit songwriter Fred Wilhelm is going to be joining us. Easy for me to say.
Right. You know, you'd think you'd get that one right.
I would.
Let's see here, Hino. We should have you do the honors.
Why don't we? Well, he's making his triumphant return appearance to the show tonight. Triumphant. He came in on a chariot and everything. It was really magnificent. You are magnificent, Lynn Gann, who's our guest here this hour. He's an industry veteran. He's a well-known music publisher who's held lots of executive positions over the years at MCA and Zomba, Full Circle Music, and he's responsible for several hit songs over the years along the way, and now he's an A&R guy for a great company called Indie Orange, whose Grammy and Emmy nominated creative team oversees artist development and song production targeted specifically for TV and film and advertising and digital media and stuff. So plus, we hear he makes a mean pie, so we're going to be great friends right there.
right
off the get-go. So we're just thrilled to say, Lynn Gann, welcome back to the Music Row Show.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Woo.
Great to be back.
Did you bring any pie?
I did not bring pie tonight. People believe what they perceive in the in entertainment industry.
Yeah.
And somebody perceived one time that I made a good pie, but they didn't say what kind.
So you've actually never baked a pie before.
I made an enchilada pie.
Okay.
An enchilada pie?
Yeah.
That would have been nice.
It's pretty good.
Next time.
It's not for dessert, though.
No, but for your third comeback, when you come back here in a few more years, we'd love an enchilada pie.
Post-show pie.
Post-show
pie. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes. Please.
Good idea. So, okay. So let's talk about Indie Orange. Let's talk about the inception of it, because these days, movie and TV supervisors are today's A&R reps,
right.
is kind of something that I read while boning up on your guys' stuff.
Part,
so,
yes.
So what does that mean, and what's caused that shift?
Well, record companies, I think, put less emphasis on talent development, mm-hmm. artist development, and that sort of thing today. So there are various ways artists are broken. It's not all traditional means that we kind of grew up with, you know, where you have an A&R scout for a record label and they go out and look. But, you know, TV and film has a large audience these days as well. So it's just another means for an artist to become discovered,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it's hard to get on corporate radio.
Yes.
For a lot of artists. And, you know, with Indie Orange and the Sync thing, I mean, there are a lot of artists doing a lot of different music that is not considered mainstream.
Right.
To be played on the mainstream playlist nowadays. So,
right.
And there are music for all moods. And so, a good example is The Fray. I think they were on Grey's Anatomy, and so they had a hit record from that show.
Right.
And so that, I think, feeds part of what we're talking about as far as music supervisors becoming A&R people at this point.
Do they want to? I mean, is that a responsibility that they want to have?
I think first and foremost, they want to find great music for their shows. And then, you know, maybe discovering an artist has become a byproduct, and maybe the focus has shifted a little more towards that nowadays.
Because it's good publicity for the show as well.
Great publicity, yeah.
Does the show share in that success in any way other than the pride of having broken the fray or somebody?
Do you mean in regard to monetary reward?
Yeah.
Sometimes. Okay. It just depends on the contracts and what all's involved with that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, anybody who's listened to this show for any length of time knows that, you know, not only getting a song cut, but getting a number one is an extreme long shot. You know, it's, right. There's just a lot of things that have to happen for that to happen. How does that compare to what it takes to get a placement in a big film and actually be successful that way, or TV or commercial?
It's a different world. You know, I've grown up doing 27 years on Music Row and mm-hmm. country, and so I've been geared towards that. So this is very refreshing to me, first of all.
Okay.
And I get to hear and consider a lot of different type music that I didn't really pay as much attention to before, probably.
Okay.
And so what's it like to get what's comparable to a number one? Probably the best story I've heard of was a band out of Seattle called Telekinesis.
Oh.
And not really a band that I'd heard much about until I heard the story. And they landed an ad with Subaru for 1 year and was re-upped for the second year. And it paid just about the same as a country number one single.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. And okay. It was used, you know, it was a soundtrack to their car commercials for a couple of years for Subaru. And so when I started hearing about those numbers, I'm thinking, well, that's pretty interesting.
Right. Yeah.
There's another way to make money in this music industry, you know, outside of the country charts for me. Sure. And that was pretty exciting.
And I would guess if you look at the numbers, there's a lot more commercials and films being made than there are albums being cut.
A lot of opportunity out there, I think.
I remember that song, actually. It was Chevy Sucks. What's the name of the song?
It
that
really had
crazy.
A nice, catchy...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like one of those Led Zeppelin songs that wasn't actually... The title wasn't actually in the lyric. You know?
Right.
Right.
It was just implied.
Yeah, it was implied.
So what you said after 27 years of doing this, what are you looking for in this capacity that's different than looking for that radio hit? Because I can't even... As things have... gotten smaller and smaller compartmentally here in Nashville, I can't imagine the stress of that job as the years right. have gone on. So what's different now? What do you, when you say you're able to look at different things?
Well, to me, this music that I'm looking for the sync thing, for Indie Orange, is almost like a polar opposite for what I've done for all these years. You know, with a country hit single, we've all... been taught that it needs to be 3.5 minutes of story from start to finish, and you need a big hook in the middle and tell a complete story. Whereas for sync uses, you know, it could be anything. It could be 8 seconds of music, or it might be 37 seconds of a song, or it might be 2 minutes of a song in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the music's used to complete a mood, whatever mood you're trying to convey or message you're trying to convey through the video, you know, whether it's ad placement, TV, or film. And it can be a bit of lyric that completes a mood. It can be, you know, a background vocal type hook, or it can be a guitar riff, or really anything you can imagine. So my mind is wide open when I'm listening for sync. It could be, I listen to a lot of music and listen to as many artists as I can and just imagine what the possibilities could be. And if something's really hooking, it sticks in my brain, you know, I'm kind of geared that way too.
Right.
If something's really memorable to me, but it can be just short snippets of music.
Right.
You know, as opposed to, you know, trying to find that complete song in 3 or 3.5 minutes for the country field.
Hmm. So then I'm guessing from what you're saying, lyrical content isn't quite as important as on Music Row because you're more trying to set the mood. It doesn't have to make sense. That seems like a whole other way of even approaching a song to create one.
You know, we have great songwriters at Indie
Orange.
Absolutely,
yeah.
And it would stand to reason that I would be geared, you know, attracted to great songwriters after all these years.
Sure.
But it's just, they're in different packages now, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know, with the sync thing, it could be one line of lyric that's really, that sticks in your brain. It could just be a phrase, or it could be a shout, you know, a chant of some sort with some music with it. Or sometimes it might be a cappella, or sometimes it might just be instrumental.
Yeah.
There are no fences on this thing, you know?
Well, and you can see that with one of your the artists that's going to be playing here a little later, Redheaded Indian. I hope her mama's listening.
The Redheaded Indian, by the way.
The Redheaded Indian. Redheaded
Don't want
Indian.
To be confused with the other Redheaded Indian.
That's right, that's right.
The Redheaded Indian is laughing in the background.
Well, if you look at her EP, there's actually 43 songs, and they're all 8 seconds long. So it's just changed up everything.
She already figured this sync thing
out. Yeah, okay, that's not true. There's 6 songs, and we're looking forward to hearing from her. But So lyrics are just as important in a way, because you're looking for that one line,
right?
But you're not looking for the beginning, middle, and end of
it. It doesn't have to make sense for a complete 3 minutes,
right? Just for
it makes sense for 8 seconds,
yeah, or possibly 2 minutes for the montage in a movie when they've broken up and they're trying to go about their life and they're both
it could
sad.
Be a big movie theme, you know, like an end title song too. I mean, that could be, you know, you could use 2 or 3 minutes of that.
Sure,
and those pay. Those are the big payers.
That probably leans more toward a traditional type of song.
That would be closer to what we've kind of grown up with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I would imagine during a show or during a movie, you're not really hearing much of the song because there's dialogue going on.
Right.
And shooting and whatever.
Fades in and out and that sort of
explosions,
thing.
Explosions, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, you have 2 little kids. When's the last time you saw a movie with shooting and explosions in it?
I can't even remember. I can't. I think.
Let it go. Let it go. That's your life.
That's true.
Life.
I heard that a bunch today, as a matter of fact.
Is emotion a bigger deal? Is it more important in film and TV placement than maybe a radio release?
Personally, I think it's always important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at my company, Full Circle, we had songs like The Boys of Fall and When I Get Where I'm Going. Those were very emotional,
right?
Emotionally attached type songs, and those were our biggest hits. And, you know, so that is a constant between the country thing and the sync thing that we're doing now. With sync uses, we need music that's going to complete the emotion that someone's trying to convey through their video medium.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so a lot of times music and the song will really complete that mood, and it just really finishes off what they're trying to convey in a movie or TV show or an ad placement. You know, if you're trying to get somebody to buy a Coke, if you have the great jingle to go along with it,
doesn't hurt.
It's even stronger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I would imagine that your job, you know, trying to go out and find music, because movies and TV, I mean, there's millions of stories, so you have no idea what somebody might be looking for at some point. There's a million different moods that might need to be created. So how do you figure out, you know, you just try to go down the list. Oh, I need something sad. I need something happy. I need something, you know. How do you figure out what might work for stuff you don't even know you're going
to
need?
It's music for all emotions, really. I mean, you know, you do need to have some of everything in your portfolio, so to speak.
Okay.
With me, it just goes back to that great thing about music. You know, when I hear something that that you can attach to emotionally,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether it's a feeling of excitement or sadness or whatever that may be. Yeah, it's, you know, we have music for all emotions and to complete all these scenes, I think.
How about for like if somebody stubs their toe and they're like really angry?
Yeah, you know.
You got one like that?
Probably something called, ouch, I stubbed my toe. Or
perfect. If not, like somebody's going to write it right now.
Or just a scream probably over a guitar.
Yeah,
a big guitar chord and a scream would probably, you know, fit that.
Before we take a break, we need to say that our sponsor this hour is the Apathy Club.
No, it isn't.
No, it's Toyota of Cool Springs. You know, Hino and I are both Toyota drivers, and it's just a cool dealership. I love getting the oil changed over there, and they're just good folks to work with.
They're great folks, and we love the fact that they've got a 3-day return policy, unlimited time and miles on their warranty, which is just amazing right then and there. And they're just, it's a comfortable place to hang out. There's no pressure like you might feel at another dealership when you walk on the lot where they all jump on you. They're completely laid back. It's really nice.
Well, and last week when we were talking about it at James' house, it's like, that's where I go.
That's where he goes.
That's where I go. He was real excited to to hear us talking about them. Toyota of Cool Springs. Ask for George, the owner. He's going to take good care of you on the web at toyotaofcoolsprings.com.
All right, we're going to be back in just a few minutes with Lynn Gann and more from Indy Orange here on the Music Row Show. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's the redheaded stranger doing Honey.
Nope, it's the redheaded Indian.
You wrote redheaded stranger, dude.
It's Willie Nelson. Of course it isn't. Why would you do what I read, what I wrote?
That's called sabotage in the radio business right there.
Good. Good to know.
Redheaded Indian. I'm sorry, the redheaded Indian. And that's a tune of hers called Honey. Off of a CD of the same name, Honey. But her real name, are we allowed to say your real name? Or
you
is this
are,
like
definitely.
A. Okay, her name's Caroline.
Yes.
On the road again.
On the road again. God.
Gosh,
stranger.
What is wrong
I can't
with
believe
us?
You.
That was my mistake. Caroline, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I've enjoyed this week checking out your music and beautiful stuff. Beautiful
Thank
stuff.
You
Congratulations.
So much.
This is a new EP, right?
Yeah, released it in September, actually.
Very exciting. And you have a busy, busy March coming up.
I do.
Including South by Southwest.
Yeah.
How exciting is that? And why is that festival so special to you?
I'm so excited. I've actually been dreaming of playing South by for the last few years, kind of when I started playing music. I've had a lot of friends who've kind of taken off lately and been able to play South by, and I've been so jealous of them. Not in a bad way, but in a, wow, I can't wait to be there kind of way. But it'll just be a special place because there's going to be so many artists and musicians and business people all in one town for a week, and getting to meet all those different people will be really, really special.
That's cool. So, yeah. I can't even imagine what that's like hearing her say that.
Why?
Having a lot of friends, for starters.
Oh, yeah. Well,
really
yeah.
Cool.
That.
What's that like? What
see,
is that like?
You know what, that was a big claim. I'm really sorry about that.
So you definitely, in listening to your music, definitely your music does evoke a mood. It's very kind of moody, I guess, is the way you put that. Is that how did you go about developing that style? Is that something that just came naturally to you, or did you concentrate on actually going in that direction?
It came very naturally for me.
Yeah.
I'm a very honest person in and out of my music. And something that I take pride in is being really honest with my music. And I guess I am a moody person if my music is moody. When I moved to Nashville, I was kind of more quiet girl singer-songwriter. And then meeting a lot of different people through Belmont University helped really bring out what was really inside of me musically and as a songwriter. And that's what came out. So...
Well, awesome.
That's wonderful. Now, as an indie artist, how does working with an outfit like Indie Orange help you at this stage in your career? I mean, what excited you about getting involved with these guys?
What excited me was that they were the first people to contact me about sync licensing. And I was kind of familiar with what that was for before they approached me, but when Lynn emailed me, he kind of explained what they were doing, and it got me really excited because it sounded like something that I wanted to be a part of. And they were really, really enthusiastic about my music and really patient with me. And I just released my first record ever, so I'm
right.
Very, very new to everything, including the business side. So just thankful that they were really patient with me, and I'm excited to really start working with them. So
that's and we're excited because we caught Caroline early. I mean, this is her first EP.
Right.
So how did you find her?
One of our colleagues, Chris Fairbank, actually talked about her on one of our conference calls, and they said, hey, she's in Nashville. I said, well, let me find her. And so I don't know if it was Facebook or where, but everybody's putting their music on social media these days, but actually we find artists on social media, a lot of Facebook stuff.
So can I interrupt you just for a second? Because this mystery person that you didn't know mentioned you. So were you putting up videos of you doing just acoustic things, or were you playing snippets of the future EP, or what were you doing that someone was finding this?
I released my record on Noise Trade and was really lucky to be able to have a feature on their website. So I was in their email list. I was also like on the front page of their website and was their like number one artist for the week that my record came out. Mm-hmm. So I got a lot of interest from being on Noise Trade. Because a lot of people go there to discover new music, and it's free. So a lot of people go and download, and I feel like that's a really big part of it for me, yeah. So.
Okay, right. So somebody said something and said, by the way, she's in Nashville.
Yeah, so one of my colleagues had a lead, said, hey, Caroline's really good, you should check her out, and she's in Nashville. I said, okay, well, let me find her. And so looked her up. And heard the music, and we're all just knocked out by the songs and the music. And, you know, our tagline with Indie Orange is real artists, real songs. And we have one right here. This is a real artist. And you were in Belmont last year, right?
I was. I was at Belmont for a year and a half, and I'm now not at Belmont anymore.
And made her. Made her. And she's following her dreams now, and Indie Orange is part of that dream.
Seriously, it's true. It's really true.
You know, when we heard the music, We were all just knocked out and thinking about many placements that would be possible with this stuff. And, you know, then I saw her show live at 12th and Porter a while back, and she just sang her brains out. I mean, it was really great. You did a great job, Caroline.
Awesome.
It was fantastic.
Thank you so much.
You know, we're excited to find an artist this early on and with a completed EP that's this good is just fantastic for us. Really exciting.
That's great.
Well, we would be excited, so we can join the club being excited too if you play something for us. You feel like
I would love to
doing a tune for us?
Yeah, I would love to.
All right.
I'm gonna play a song. It's the first song on my record, January.
January.
Of heartbreak and pain, but love and fortune just might throw you away. January's hair shines in the bright southern sun. It illuminates the cold for the western ones, but hope's reckless thing for January. January.
throw your way.
Yeah.
All right. Very, very nice. Wow.
Thank you so much.
That was so pretty. So, Lynn, I'm going to send this back to you because there's some big doings going on this coming Monday. Next.
So, a week from tomorrow.
A week March from 9th. Tomorrow.
Yeah.
At Soulshine Pizza.
Right.
Tell us about this.
We're having our Indie Orange Nashville debut show.
Whoa.
We're unveiling this thing to Nashville because there's so much talent here in Nashville. It's not all country, as we know. And so, we're looking for, you know, syncable artists, syncable songs, syncable tracks. Not like the Titanic sing.
Yeah, I was just going
to
say.
I was waiting on you to throw that in.
Yeah, I was thinking it.
Maybe that would be your line. And so we're doing this thing at Soulshine, and we're going to have our entire staff there from Los Angeles and Nashville, and we're going to showcase several of our acts, and Caroline, the Redheaded Indian, is going to play. Tyler Kane's going to play. Stereo Sparks is going to be on the show, and several others.
Wow,
great.
And we'll have more info coming soon on that show. Excellent. It's going to be 6 to 8 o'clock Monday night, March 9th, at Soulshine. It's on Division Street.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken, there's a Facebook. You can search for that on Facebook.
We have a
Facebook.
Facebook page for Indie Orange as well. Mm-hmm. And it's free to get in. If you're just a music fan, you want to come out, please come hear artists. If you're an aspiring artist and want to check it out more, then please come out.
Now, and your website for Indie Orange is?
www.indie, that's spelled I-N-D-I-E, mm-hmm. orange.com.
And Caroline, your website?
It's www.theredheadedindian.com.
Indian.com.
Indian, yeah.
Okay.
All right. And you need all three W's? Is that the way that
I
works?
Mean, I don't know.
Is that
okay?
You have to check out my website to find out.
I'm kind of lazy. You know, I don't have to put three
you know
W's.
What? Don't even
you know?
Put the W's.
All just right. Go the redheaded.
The
redheaded.
.com. Thought boom. It would be specific, but I guess not.
Sounds like a trick question.
Yeah.
To me,
is anyway. Dot spelled out? Is it D-O-T? No, I'm just kidding.
No.
It's Dorothy.
It's
no,
Dorothy.
Dorothy.
All right.
Dragging well, this on.
Well, listen, we need to take a quick break, but we're going to come back with a whole lot more with the folks from Indie Orange, Lynn Gann, the Redheaded Indian, and a whole lot more here on the Music Row Show. Stick around. Oh, yeah, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's Jesse Smith doing Smooth Talker, one of the many great artists represented by Indie Orange. And we got A&R representative Lynn Gann here with us, and we just actually pulled up another of his great artists up to the microphone here. Tyler Kane is joining us right now.
Hey.
Hey.
How are you guys?
We're doing good. You're a heck of a guitar player. I spent some time Thanks. Watching you today. Online.
Through your
like half a window.
So that was you.
That was me. That was me.
Man, you creep everything up, I know. You really do.
It's my specialty, you know.
And you cook the eggs a little too long on one side.
Yeah, really. I was going to talk to you about that.
Oh, man. You do have a bunch going on, Tyler. Do you want to do a quick introduction of Tyler?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Let's hear it.
Tyler Kane is a singing, songwriting, guitar playing, music producing dude.
Oh, dude, with a capital dude. D.
Yeah,
dude.
Those are all caps. I met Tyler back in the late summer.
Yeah.
And
I guess it's just been since summer, right?
That's right. We met through mutual friend Megan Lindsay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Steel microphone. Magnolias.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I was just catching up with her about music. She said, well, if you're doing this sync thing, you need to meet Tyler Kane. I said, okay, when can I meet Tyler Kane? Like, the next day, we're hanging out in the studio, and I started hearing all these songs and tracks and things he's doing. I was blown away.
Wow.
And sent it to L.A. straight off, and everybody's jumping up and down. So we're glad to have Tyler Kane on board.
I'm glad to be on board.
Tyler does a lot of things in addition to playing music and producing music too, and he can get into some of that.
Yeah, well, talking about us meeting, I think the very first time we met, I think within about 24 hours of it, we were having beers at Exit Inn, watching some indie rock bands playing, and I was like, this guy's cool. I want to work with this guy. But
nice.
Yeah, we hit it off pretty quickly, and yeah, Lynn came over to the studio. I got a studio on the row on 17th. I do a lot of production and work with different artists, kind of write my own music too, but yeah, they got a cool thing going on with this, and it's been a lot of fun.
Very cool. Well, you have, like we've all said, you got a bunch going on. I loved the YouTube video showing you putting a pop country track together.
Yeah. That was pretty cool.
Technology's crazy these days.
Well, talk about how a track guy approaches a co-write, because this is all new territory to dinosaurs like us.
I feel like it's kind of coming to Nashville. It's a big LA thing. Yeah. You know, being a quote-unquote track guy, where you drum machines and synthesizers and building the tracks and everything. And in the country world, you're starting to see more of it, you know, the way pop's kind of blending with country. And,
right.
I don't know, my heart's kind of in, you know, indie music, pop music, and country music, and it's an exciting time now. It seems like it's all kind of meshing together into one thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, you have drum machines and synthesizers and guitars, and, you know, I'm a nerd, man. I like all of it.
It's all cool, yeah. So when you're doing a track, like the one that you have on your YouTube video, are you consciously leaving room for lyrics and melody, or are you just completely unconcerned with that and you're just coming up with a groove and let somebody else worry about that part?
That's what's fun about production and being a producer, is like collaborating with people. And like you said, like leaving room for the vocal, leaving room for the melody.
Because right.
I think one of the most important things you can ever keep in mind collaborating with somebody is to be open to their ideas and to their creativity. Because you never know where a song can go, you know?
So when you're doing a track, you're working with somebody. You're not just doing the track and then sending it off to somebody else and say, hey, find a melody for this.
Oh, yeah, it just depends. You know, sometimes I'll do a track with somebody in mind.
Yeah.
You know, and Lynn is even, you know, Lynn's connected with a lot of people. Yeah. He's got a great singing voice.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes I'll send stuff to Lynn and he'll be, oh, this sounds like it would fit this person really well, or this person. And it's cool to have somebody that's like a sounding board that has, you know, a lot of experience. And, you know, you never know. That's what's fun about making tracks too, is, you know, someone brings their own touch to it and it turns into something different, you know? So.
Wow.
Very cool.
Yeah.
You do a lot of work with a band that I believe was a huge influence on the current direction of pop country. That's Big and Rich.
Yeah.
Talk about, I mean, what have you learned from your time with them? I mean, what do you get out of that?
I learned a lot from John and Kenny. I love them. I played guitar for them for about 2 years and toured with them, and we went all over the world and we played everywhere. But those guys, I mean, there's no off switch. There's no putting it down. I mean, they're working constantly, you know, and, you know, John has his tour bus, Kenny has his tour bus, and they're just constantly writing and creating, you know. Mm-hmm. They're the two of the most creative people I've ever met, you know, and it's like music with no boundaries, you know. It's labeled as pop country, but, you know, they're fearless, you know. It's like I played guitar in the studio on this last record they did, and the fact, you know, it was just very cool of them to bring me in to do that, and, they're just real supportive of creativity and creative people. And I think that's an important thing, you know, that you guys know, there's a lot of people that, try to fit into a mold or are afraid to kind of step outside of their comfort zone.
Right.
I just feel like it was a good influence to be around them and, kind of push my boundaries a little bit, you know?
Sweet.
Nice. Yeah. Well, let's push a break.
Yeah,
and,
let's do that.
And we're going to come back and get a song out of Tyler.
Cool.
You're listening to the Music Row Show. We're here with Tyler Kane, with the Redheaded Indian, with Lynn Gann of Indie Orange. We got a full house right now.
We do.
All right, stick around. We'll be right back.
You, I was still a ghost, living to the beat of an empty heart and a lonely soul with nowhere to go. Yeah, big city in the bright.
Yeah, welcome back to the Music Row Show.
Used to think they only hurt my eyes.
We're here with the folks from Indie Orange, Lynn Gann and Tyler Kane, and that's actually who you're listening to right now. It's a tune of his called Tip of My Tongue. You wrote Tip of My Phone, but I wasn't going to fall for it this time.
Did I really? Man, oh man, what is wrong with me?
He was trying to get me again. Tip of my phone. I'm looking at that. That doesn't even make sense.
I got to start drinking more or less before the show. I just haven't got the right combination.
So don't rewrite that song. Don't retitle it. Tip of my tongue works just fine.
That works much better.
We'd love to hear a tune from you if you feel like playing one.
Absolutely, absolutely. This is actually a song I co-wrote a number of years back. It's called Has Anybody Ever Told You?
Tyler Kane, what's your website?
My website is www.tylerkanemusic.com.
TylerKaneMusic.com, IndieOrange.com.
Yes.
TheRedHeadedIndian.com. And we are at the end of the hour. So.
We are. Well, we got another great hour of the show coming up with hit songwriter Fred Wilhelm. So come back in just a few minutes here on the Music Row
Show. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks.